Grace to you and peace from God our Father and our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. The passage for this morning's message comes from 2 Timothy, 2nd chapter. You then, my child, be strengthened by the grace that is in Christ Jesus. And what you have heard from me in the presence of many witnesses, entrust to faithful men who will be able to teach others also. Share in suffering as a good soldier of Christ Jesus. No soldier gets entangled in civilian pursuits, since his aim is to please the one who enlisted him. An athlete is not crowned unless he competes according to the rules. It is the hard-working farmer who ought to have the first share of the crops. Think over what I say, for the Lord will give you understanding in everything. Remember Jesus Christ, risen from the dead, the offspring of David, as preached in my gospel, for which I am suffering, bound with chains as a criminal. But the word of God is not bound. Therefore I endure everything for the sake of the elect, that they also may obtain the salvation that is in Christ Jesus with eternal glory. The saying is trustworthy, for if we have died with him, we will also live with him. If we endure, we will also reign with him. If we deny him, he also will deny us. If we are faithless, he remains faithful, for he cannot deny himself. Thus far, our text. Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, a soldier, an athlete, and a farmer. Today is the 36th annual Lakefront Marathon in Milwaukee, Wisconsin. At this very moment, thousands of runners are running the course that passes through my alma mater, Concordia University, Wisconsin, located on the shorefront of Lake Michigan, and then through the University of Wisconsin, Milwaukee campus as well. I've run the race 3 times myself. Each training season, I have put in more work than the last, and my results show it. I have improved my time running the 26.2-mile course. If you want to finish the race, a spring, summer, and fall full of work lie ahead of you as your feet carry you across the paths, the sidewalks, and treadmills as you prepare for that day. Pain is a normal part of the training on the longer runs, and no matter how hard one tries, the last few miles of the race hurt. There are many rules that you have to follow if you want to be a part of the race. A few that come to mind are: you must stay on the course, you can't push a stroller with your kids in it, if you have friends that want to ride along with their bikes, you can't do that, you can't bring your dog either. There are many more rules than that even, but the point is, if you don't follow them, you are disqualified. You have to put in the work to get the results that you want. You do what you have to do. Paul gives us 3 examples of people in their prospective vocations doing what their job entails. They are doing what they have to do. We've already heard about the athlete and what the parameters are for being involved in one particular sport. We now look towards another example, one of a soldier. A soldier follows the orders given to them by their commanding officer. They follow the command, regardless of the suffering that they will endure from that command. When your commanding officer tells you to charge headlong into a firefight, you go. You do what you have to do. Another example is of a farmer. As we are in the midst of harvest, we can think of the farmer. We can think of the farmers down at the farmer's market with their crops. It would make sense that after all the hard work of seeding and growing and harvest, that they should get the first of their crop for their own table before they bring the rest to the farmer's market. You do what you have to do. Paul gives these examples of what it means to Timothy to complete the task that he had been given. Paul gave examples in which the person was told to do what you have to do. A soldier follows the order, regardless of the suffering that is involved. The athlete puts in the work, regardless of the hurt of training, and according to the rules. The farmer should receive the first fruits of his work. These things, they make sense to us. There are certain consequences, both rewards and punishments for actions. Paul is showing us these natural consequences. Being a Christian does not mean that you'll be given a cushy lifestyle. If that were the case, then Paul would be writing to us from a mansion instead of from a prison cell. Sometimes we as Christians think that following Christ means that life will be a walk in the park. But as we heard a few weeks ago, Christ says in Luke chapter 14, verse 27, "Whoever does not bear his own cross and come after me cannot be my disciple." Sometimes we choose not to bear the cross that we've been given. We don't want to share who Christ is or what he's done in our lives. When talking to people, perhaps the point that you are a Christian simply doesn't come up. Instead, we'd like to share where we live, or our occupation, or perhaps the latest trip that you're planning on taking. Do we sometimes let what the world thinks of us as Christians delegate how we conduct ourselves in the world? We are not able to stick to the rules of the race of life, the orders of our commanding officer, and we don't want to put in the work that a farmer does when sowing the seeds of faith. We put up walls so that we don't have to share our faith with others. Meanwhile, even as Paul was in prison, he was spreading the good news of the gospel to the world. How much immeasurably more are we able to do, not being bound in chains as Paul was? As Paul states in this reading, "Remember Christ Jesus, risen from the dead, the offspring of David, as preached in my gospel, for which I am suffering, bound with chains as a criminal. But the word of God is not bound. Therefore I endure everything for the sake of the elect, that they also may obtain the salvation that is in Christ Jesus with eternal glory." 2 Timothy 2, verses 8 through 10. Yet no matter how much we try, we fail in our attempt to follow Jesus in all that he did. But thanks be to God for Christ, who did and endured all things for you and for me. As a soldier follows the orders of their commanding officer, Christ followed the will of God, regardless of the suffering that was involved, even to the point of giving his life for us. Jesus did what he had to do. As an athlete plays by the rules to be the champion, Christ fulfilled the law for you and for me. Though tempted by Satan to divert off the course, he stayed the course for us. Jesus did what he had to do. As the farmer works hard for his crops to grow within the earth and burst forth above ground with new life, Christ was buried after his death upon the cross. He burst forth from the tomb, risen for you and for me, giving us new life with him. Jesus did what he had to do. We do what we have to do. But as Christians, we now do what we get to do instead. The saying is trustworthy, "For if we have died with him, we also live with him." 2 Timothy 2, verse 11. So what does that mean for our lives? What are we to do? If you have a coworker that seems to be having a tough day at work, you share the love of Christ with them. When asked what you believe, you respond and say, "I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth." And then you share your faith using the words of the Apostles' Creed. These aren't things that we have to do, but they're things that we get to do. In Jesus' name, amen. Now to him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine, to him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen.